Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lenny Keys, Real Talk, episode 3000. I think, yeah, 3000 sounds good, so.
Damn.
Yo.
We ain't even made it to 300. You got us at 3000. Okay.
No, we had 3,000, bro. It's all right. We're going to rock with it. 3,000, bro. And we making it to 300, too, so chill out. What up, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, another day, another way, man. I can't complain.
My Wednesdays, I'm in the trenches, too. That's my – Wednesdays is always my busiest day of the week, like yours, so it's a great day.
Yeah, Wednesday is my office day, so, yeah.
Oh, you've been doing, like, 4 days working remote, and then you're doing Wednesdays in the office?
Yeah, Wednesday I work from home all other days, and then Wednesday I go in the office, which is cool, you know, get to see some of my, you know, my colleagues. There's, like, 5 of us that go in on Wednesday, so it's pretty cool.
That's what's up. Yeah, I think a lot of companies are realizing they can still be productive even with having almost fully remote or even you know, partially remote. They can still get whatever they got to get done and save money probably that way too.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, let's get into it. So there's a couple things. So basically, to give a little rundown. We usually don't use the word rundown on this show because we don't do rundowns. We don't do any rundowns. We just kind of go freestyle off the top. You know, freestyle format is what I like to say, and we've been killing that for like 100 years. So it is what it is. And Max Holloway fought this past weekend. Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez fought. We're going to give our thoughts on that one. We won't kick it off with that because there's some other things we got to get to here that we got to chop up, you know, off the top. We got to chop those things up. So we're going to get to Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez a little bit later. We'll talk about that fight. We'll talk about the Dustin Poirier interview. You know, a lot of the back and forth, there's been a lot of controversy there. So we'll talk about a lot of that stuff. And it's a few topics we'll get to. I also saw Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman. I saw a rumor. I haven't seen like ESPN or not to say it, but I am seeing reports that they're working on Usman versus Edwards 2 for, I believe, second quarter 2022. That's what I saw a couple hours ago, March, April. They're just going to go ahead and scrap that fight next month and just give Edwards the title shot, it looks like. So I'm here in March, April, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. But first things first, we got to talk about this. What I would say is the deepest division and probably, or at least arguably, the most entertaining division in the UFC, lightweight division, 155. And there's been a lot of back and forth this week between a lot of those guys. You have Islam Makhachev saying he should get the next title shot. Khabib Nurmagomedov has been going after Ferguson, even going after Justin Gaethje, even going after everybody. You know, he's probably going after the cameraman. I don't know. Khabib been going after everybody. So he probably went after the ref too. So, yeah, he was out there. He was calling out everybody. He was saying Islam should get the next shot. Justin Gaethje's out there. You know, he should get the next shot. Even before his Chandler fight, he was saying that. Now he's really going in on that. So Islam and Gaethje kind of been, you know, stating their case of why they each feel like they should fight the winner of Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier's lightweight title fight in December. So you have that issue right there. And those are pretty much the two guys that are really putting themselves up there for the lightweight title. I haven't seen anybody else really who has a legitimate claim really put themselves in the hat for that. It's really those two guys that are calling for it. And surprisingly, Benil Dariush he hasn't said a word. I'm kind of surprised because he looks so good in his past couple of fights, man, I feel like he's right there too. I mean, I feel like he could be coming out and saying, yo, guys, I mean, I'm right with y'all too, so you might got to fight me. If y'all fight me, you might have to fight me first. So I'm kind of surprised that Dariush hasn't said anything. But anyways, we want to get into that. I want to ask you this. Khabib and Islam obviously feel like Islam is your fight for the belt. Justin Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez feel like Justin should fight for the belt. Eddie Alvarez even came out and was taking Justin's side and saying that, you know, he would take Justin's 6-3 in his last 9 fights. He would take his 6-3 record over Islam's 9-0 record as far as comparing resumes for a title shot. So I ask you this. Do you agree with Islam and Khabib that Islam should fight the winner of that title fight in December, or do you agree with Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez that Gaethje should fight the winner of that lightweight title fight? Or do you think it should be neither one of them and somebody else? That would be the third option.
Nah, because then I'd be a hypocrite. I said the winner of the Gaethje Chandler fight. I said if Gaethje beat Chandler, he should get a title shot. So I have to stick with that. But when I think about Islam, has he done enough to warrant a title shot? When I mean did enough, has he even fought a top 5 guy? I know he fought Hooker, who I really don't have a lot of faith in. I don't have a lot of faith in him. Some people have a lot of faith in him, think he's a good fighter. I don't. Let me look at his record. Let me see, because I'm going to base it on who he's – okay. I don't even have to look that far. I see names like Thiago Moises, Drew Dober, Davi Ramos, a name I can't even pronounce, Gleison Tibau, Nate Lentz. No, he doesn't deserve a shot, title shot. He needs to at least have one top 5 win. I would say I will book him versus Dariush, and I will have Gaethje fight the winner of Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier. I know the UFC really want to put Islam in that title picture, but he hasn't done enough. He hasn't beaten anybody. Only person he's beaten that's of note that I don't even respect is Hooker. So, nah, give it to Gaethje. Like Eddie Alvarez said, I would take Gaethje's 6-3 over his 9-0. Because I'm about to pull up Gaethje's. I'm going to pull up Gaethje's who he's beat. Or who he's fought. I know he fought Tony Ferguson. I know he fought who else he fought? I know he fought Tony Ferguson. There, he put on a clinic against Ferguson. I can't even find it. Hold up on there. Hold up. I got it right here. All right, here we go. He beat Michael Chandler. He lost to Khabib. He beat Ferguson, beat Cerrone, beat Edson Barboza. James Vick, who I have hardly any respect for. Lost to Dustin Poirier. Lost to Eddie Alvarez. Beat Michael Johnson. And that's all his fights in the UFC. So yeah, I would take his resume over the resume of Islam. Plain and simple. That would be easy.
Yeah, and one thing too. My bad. Did I cut you off?
No, go ahead. I was done.
I'm with you. I agree that if you really look at it, who the two guys have fought. I mean, if you ask me, like when we're talking titles. I know that in this current UFC climate, the way that this whole thing seems to be structured now, it almost, in the way title shots are given out, it almost makes it seem like what's the point of the rankings? Like, it almost seems like the rankings just don't matter. But I always like to refer to the rankings. Not everybody does. Not everybody really cares. Dana White doesn't seem to care sometimes, you know, who's ranked where. But I feel like at the end of the day, it should be about the rankings. And because there's a reason why we created the rankings. And I feel like it makes perfect sense. I feel like it establishes merit for these guys, you know, and it establishes legitimacy. And it really establishes, you know, a true, you know, this guy deserves, or this girl deserves a title shot type of resume. You know, we need to have lists of who the best in each division are. You know, that's the point of having the rankings. And why should someone who hasn't fought the best in a division fight for the title? I just don't really understand where you would come up with that. Like, it really, I mean, Islam, 9-0, like, but this is the problem, is that, like, guys like Khabib Nurmagomedov, right, he's used to this, because look at his resume.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely nobody. So he's used to this, because he fought a bunch of bums. Let's keep it a buck. He fought a bunch of nobodies. Look at his resume. Like, if you really break it down to the tough guys he fought versus guys that no one's ever heard of, some of the guys he fought didn't even have wins on their record. If you go back and look at Khabib's resume, I won't go too deep into it, but if you ever want to laugh, go look up Khabib Nurmagomedov's resume one day and just check out how some of the guys he fought don't even have a single win in the pro circuit. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what? So then if you look at his resume, he's used to this because he barely fought anybody once he got to the title. Like, he only started fighting guys. I mean, he's probably like 8-0 if you really look at, like, tough guys that he fought, Khabib. So I give him that because towards, you know, and I can't compare it to what Islam has done so far, really, because Khabib did start to fight, you know, guys that would warrant, that would lead him closer to the title after a while. You know, once he got into the UFC, he fought some fights. And then he started fighting guys that would actually, you know, warrant him a title shot. He fought, you know, RDA and, you know, a lot of these guys. He fought Barboza, you know, and he started to fight the top guys. But that's, you know, so Khabib saying that Islam should get the shot doesn't really mean anything to me because Khabib barely fought anybody. You know, he started fighting them at the end. Like, you know, he warranted his shot, but it took him, you know, he fought 23 or, you know, 24-0 before he even started fighting guys that anybody cared about. You know, guys that really mattered towards, you know, UFC World Championship. He fought the 23-24-0 before he started fighting those kinds of guys. So I don't really care about what Khabib has to say about who gets the title shot because he is not used to always fighting the best guys. He started doing it towards the end of his career. The last 10 fights was where he started fighting the best guys. Islam, okay, is what, 14-0, 15-0? Okay, so he's not as deep as Khabib was in as far as total fights. But I'll say this, in the UFC, he has fought, okay, he fought the number 14-ranked guy. Thiago Moises was the number 14 guy. And then he beat the number 14 guy. They moved him up to number 5, I believe. They moved him up to 5 or they moved him up to 7, I don't remember. But then they had him fight, like, Dan Hooker, who I'm pretty sure fought him on like 1 week or 2 week notice, just to add on to that. You know, Dan Hooker was the number 6 contender, and he fought him after he literally fought back to back. Dan Hooker, he just fought the other, I forget the guy's name he fought before that, but he just fought him, and then he literally went right into the Islam fight, which was a bad decision. But either way, Islam has beaten the number 14-ranked guy and the number 6-ranked guy who took the fight on short notice. I really don't think that warrants a title shot. I mean, if you look at who Gaethje has fought, he's fought everybody who's anybody. I mean, he's fought Ferguson. He's fought Poirier. He's fought Eddie Alvarez. He's fought Edson Barboza. He fought Donald Cerrone. Like, he's fought all the guys that – he fought Khabib, not to mention he lost to Khabib, but obviously. But he's fought all these guys. He's fought pretty much anybody you would imagine him fighting at lightweight. Like, who else would you imagine him fighting? You know, he's fought all those guys, and he's beaten most of those guys. I mean, he lost to Poirier, who, you know, former interim champion, current title contender. He lost to Poirier. He lost to Eddie Alvarez, former undisputed champion. And I'm trying to think, oh, and he lost to Khabib, former undisputed champion. So if you want to really say, oh, 6-3, the difference between that and Islam is that Islam wasn't fighting those caliber of guys. So my question is, would he really be 9-0 if he was fighting the same caliber of guys that Gaethje was fighting, right? Islam has not fought Khabib. He has not fought. He did not fight Eddie Alvarez, you know, the Eddie Alvarez from 3 years ago when that fight was. So it might have been 4 years ago. And he did not fight Dustin Poirier. So we really can't say, oh, 9-0 versus 6-3. Those 9-0 is nine guys that, you know, don't warrant a title shot. I mean, really? Thiago Moises, that's who you fought? And then Dan Hooker on, you know, a week or two notice? Really? And Dan Hooker's been on a losing streak. You're talking about Dan Hooker was 0-2 going into that fight. It's not like you fought a surging number six contender. You fought a contender who's barely been winning. You know, he was 1-2. Yeah, 1-2 in his last three going into that fight. He got beat by Dustin Poirier, and he got knocked out by Chandler. And then he beat a guy who I don't even know if he was ranked, but and then he came back there. It's like, really? Like, that's title shot worthy? I mean, come on. That's just – y'all gotta stop playing with me. Y'all got to stop playing with me, man. What we doing here, bro? What we doing here? That's my question for you.
I think what the UFC is trying to do, though, I think they are so desperate to build stars that's why they're trying to push Chimaev and Islam to the top, because they're trying to build stars. But the only way you build stars is, once again, like we said, you have to let them fight their way to the top. When these guys fight their way to the top, we are more willing to jump on the bandwagon, follow they trail to the top, rather than stop trying to speedball all these guys to titles. Because once you speedball them to a title and they start facing tough competition, there's a chance that maybe they weren't ready for it. Maybe they weren't good enough. You know, you have to me, at least beat two or three top 10 guys in a row to at least say, hey, I should be next for a title shot. Now, some fighters, it's hard for them to get top 10 guys because, you know, some of these guys don't want to fight each other. Some guys are scared to take a L. So I know, like, Leon Edwards is tough for him to find fights. Actually, it's actually tough for Islam to find fights. So, but bottom line is this. Justin Gaethje should get the shot. I wouldn't mind saying Islam versus Beneil Dariush. I think Beneil is actually good on the mat, so I don't think he'll be a pushover on the mat like most of these guys are when they face Islam. So I think that'll be the match mate. Gaethje is the number one ranked, number two ranked. I think he's number two ranked lightweight. And I want to say Beneil and Islam are three and four. So that only makes sense. Do Beneil versus Islam. How does God beat Thiago Moises and then catapult him in the top 10? And then he beats Dan Hooker, who fought, I want to say, less than a month ago, and he jumps from probably number 10, maybe number 9, up to number 4. How does that work? That don't even make any sense to me. The highest he should have went is maybe number 6, or I wouldn't be mad if they gave him number 5, but to put him at number four, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is this. It's definitely crazy that he went, he fought number 14 and then got that win. And then usually when a guy does that, like, they'll move him up to, like, number 10, something like that, like, or maybe 12. Like, it seems to depend on who it is, which that's fine. You know, we acknowledge that. But he pretty much went all the way into the top five after beating a guy that wasn't even in the top 10. So that's kind of odd. But at the same time, I mean, there's been, other treatment. I was telling people the other weekend, we were watching that card. I was like, guys, don't hate on Michael Chandler because you want to say that, oh, his first fight in, they gave him the number five contender. And I'm like, well, you know who else they gave the number five contender when he came in? Justin Gaethje. Gaethje got the same exact treatment when he came in. And y'all fans just forget that. You just don't remember how things have – you've already seen that before. But when Gaethje did it, I don't remember, like, seeing this much hate when they did it with Gaethje. You know, he got number five, Michael Johnson, at the time. And then he literally was in the top five. So we understand it. And then – so whatever. They want to move guys that way. I mean, it is what it is. But I'll just say this. I had someone tell me the other day that – and I was really blown away when I heard this, right? I had somebody tell me, point A, that they see no path for Charles Oliveira to beat Dustin Poirier, which I was just shocked by that, first off. And then two,
hold on, what? What?
They said they see no path where Charles Oliveira beats Dustin Poirier. So I was already shocked right there. And then they can – and so I was like, man, that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. You must not know – you must not have watched Charles Oliveira fight before. Maybe you only watched his Chandler fight because that just sounds absolutely crazy to me. And then, two, this is what even blew me away even more, is they said that Islam Makhachev will be the next champion – and he's going to destroy. He's going to beat all these guys, right? And then I said to him, I was like, you do realize something, right? I was like, you're talking about how Islam is going to destroy all these guys. Look at the way, he took down Dan Hooker and he submitted him in the first round. You do understand, right, that Charles Oliveira is statistically the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist ever in the UFC. You understand that. He is the best ever. Like, you can have your favorites, but when you really look at the stats, he is the best ever on the ground in the UFC, ever, statistically. And I think he's the best ever just skill-wise. He's the best there is on the mat. I'm not talking about wrestling and man-humping. I'm not talking about that. He takes you down and taps you out. He takes you out of there in a minute. That's what Oliveira does when he gets you down. Chandler just has stellar submission defense that was able to stop it. But not all these guys are going to be able to do that. I don't think Gaethje is going to be able to do that. I don't know if Poirier is going to be able to do that. And I don't know if Islam Makhachev is going to be able to do that. And then I told this guy, I said, you understand that if Islam takes Oliveira down, it's not going to matter how good he is at wrestling because he's not going to be able to just submit Oliveira the way he did Dan Hooker. Those are two completely different guys in that area. And a guy like Oliveira welcomes you taking him down. You should be scared to take him down. If you understand how this game works, you don't want to even take a guy like that down. You don't want to have him welcome you to the mat. That is not the place you want to go. Islam want to, wrestle Charles Oliveira. He might get tapped inside two rounds. Let's stop playing games. Let's have it right. What are y'all talking about? So that's just – the disrespect for Oliveira is just too much, man. I feel like – and it's the UFC's fault, man. They don't even – they don't, promote him for the level that he actually is. Like, you know, yeah, the fans don't want to acknowledge him, but I feel like the company don't want to acknowledge him either. And they're not really promoting him for the level of fighter that he actually is. He's, like I said, statistically the best BJJ fighter ever in UFC, ever. So what are y'all talking about? Islam knows that it's dangerous to be on the ground with Oliveira. Islam knows that. Poirier knows that. You think Poirier is going to take Oliveira down? You really think so?
No.
Because Poirier even knows better not to do that. I'm telling you. He knows better not to do that. And you know what's funny? I actually predicted that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were talking about this fight, right? And I said, I was like, Poirier knows how dangerous of an opponent Oliveira is. And I bet you when the fight comes, he'll be acknowledging how dangerous of an opponent he is. And he won't be saying, he won't be having the attitude of, oh, I'm just going to walk right through this guy. He knows better than to think that way versus Oliveira. And I actually watched his interview while I was making breakfast this morning. I think he was on Submission Radio, and that's exactly what he said. Go watch the interview and listen to what Poirier had to say when they asked him how he feels about fighting Oliveira. And all he had was praise for him. He is a respectful guy, but he also understands the level of fight that he is getting into, as where the fans of him seem to not understand that. But Poirier knows that. A guy who's been in there knows the level of fight he's getting into. So maybe we should listen to that.
Yeah, man. I think Charles Oliveira has definitely been undersold in this fight. When I think of Charles Oliveira, I was waiting on his striking to catch up with his ground game. You know, the same way we was waiting on Usman striking to catch up with his ground game. I don't think Oliveira striking is where Usman striking is, but if Oliveira can at least establish a jab, he would definitely have Poirier inside the octagon thinking rather than fighting. And I always say, when you in there thinking and you ain't fighting, that's when your opponent can institute their game plan to the fullest. Think about this. Let's say if Dustin can't hit Charles Oliveira. Let's just say he can't hit him. That, you know, Charles Oliveira been working on his hand movement, and you know Dustin can't find him. What is going to be Dustin's plan B? He ain't going to want to take him down. So what is his plan B? I think Dustin's best plan of attack is to use the calf kicks. Use the calf kicks, soften Oliveira up. But Dustin, if he does that only makes Oliveira more dangerous, because Oliveira is not going to sit there and try to stand and bang with him. He's going to go to his bread and butter, his BJJ. So I just don't understand what Dustin can do to Oliveira that Oliveira doesn't have an answer for. But Dustin does have that power in his right hand that he can sleep Oliveira. I think Oliveira would circle to the right. I mean, I think Oliveira was second to the left, away from the right hand, making it hard for Dustin to catch him with the right. So, he had to circle to the right, yeah, away from the left, yeah. So, hey, man, bottom line is Oliveira should be respected in this fight. And if I don't gamble, but people that gamble, if Oliveira comes in as an underdog, I will put a couple of dollars on him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm excited for that fight. And I definitely think Oliveira is going to come in as the betting underdog. I definitely think so. Matter of fact, I'm actually going to look that up right now. And I just think so because, you know, when you have a fight like this and, you know, you see the public opinion and, you know, all the MMA media and all these sources are, it's so heavily favored to Dustin. Like, usually the odds will will go the same way as the public opinion. That's usually what tends to happen. I mean, even look at the Stipe, when Stipe fought Ngannou for the first time, you know, the public opinion was, everybody was so high on Ngannou, and Stipe came in as the underdog in that fight. And how crazy was that? You know, I was mind blown at that when I was on my way to the TD Garden, and I was like, my cousin was like, yeah, Stipe is the underdog. I'm like, y'all are crazy, man. Y'all are crazy, bro. That was a good one for anyone who bet Stipe as the underdog that night. Y'all probably cashed out big. And I think Oliveira is a that's a healthy bet to make on all. If Oliveira is underdog, that's a healthy bet to make, even for the non-betting man. I think that's an excellent bet. Not financial advice, but that's an excellent bet. I'm trying to find the odds now. I can't seem to find anything. I'm gonna get back to you though.
Let me see when I can find it. But I think a lot of people, you know, they love Dustin Poirier, and I think it had more to do with people like him because he beat Conor McGregor. There's more people that probably love him because of that than anything else. Because if you look at his fight against Khabib, it wasn't even competitive. It wasn't even a competitive fight. So I like Dustin as a guy. I like what he do with his foundation. But when it comes to this fight, man, I just think Oliveira has way too many tools in his toolbox to win this fight than Dustin Poirier. Right now, they have it as 160 Poirier, minus 160 Poirier, plus 135 for Oliveira.
Yeah, I got, it seems to be, consensus is Poirier is coming in as a favorite, but, you know, the line is fluctuating a little bit. Like, sportsbetting.ag has Poirier at a minus 180, and Oliveira at a plus 155. And then if you look at Oddshark, it looks like they have what I think they have, similar to that line. They have the Poirier minus 165, Oliveira plus 135. So it's not like it's a line that I feel like is disrespectful. Like it's not like they're putting Oliveira like a, you know, a 3-point underdog or something like that. And I'd be like, all right, y'all are getting disrespectful. I mean, but, yeah, this is better than I thought it would be, but it's just interesting how, you know, the betting lines tend to sway with, they tend to sway with the public opinion a lot of the time. And I don't think these odds makers are really, I don't think these are always people that really watch the fights. You know, I think these are, a lot of times these are guys that just hear something from somebody, you know, it doesn't really seem like these are people that watch the fights, especially if when Vegas had Stipe as an underdog versus Ngannou back in 2008. Y'all can't tell me that. Y'all can't tell me that y'all watch the fights, man.
Yeah, man. It's just that. I think when they had Ngannou favorite, they were just going off of he was on a tear at the time, knocking people out. But at the same time, we hadn't seen him fight a well-rounded fighter. And when he fought Stipe, he got exposed in that fight, in that first fight. So, and I think if he fight another wrestler, he'll get exposed again, because I don't think he can fight off his back. So, but I do like Charles Oliveira in this fight. I think there's something to be said that when you have UFC championship fights, normally you have to beat the champion. So Poirier has to come in with the attitude that he has to be dominant in this fight to win on the judges' scorecard. Because as I think Keys will say, the judges make you beat the champion. They're just not going to hand you the belt just because you was competitive. You have to beat the champion.
And this is something that, and I'll end it on this topic, is we'll jump into the next thing, is they were asking Dustin Poirier. See, I'm a fan of his too, so don't get it twisted. Like, I would be happy either way. You know, if Dustin wins it, you know, he becomes Undisputed Champion, I would be extremely happy for him. So it's not like I'm trying to hate on Dustin. I'm just trying to shed some light on, you know, I'm trying to be objective about it. You know, and I just really feel like, you know, literally all there is just being criminally slept on. And literally the day that Khabib beat Gaethje last year, you know, a couple friends of mine asked me, they were like, who's the next best guy on the ground in the division besides Khabib? And I said, Charles Oliveira. And he was probably ranked like number 8 or number 9 at the time, something like that. Because that was before his fight with Tony Ferguson. And I was like, Charles Oliveira, definitely. He's the best guy probably in the UFC on the ground. Like, he doesn't do the same thing as Khabib, but he's incredible. And I said, I think he's a sleeper in the division. I think he could definitely be the world champion, you know, in the near future. I definitely think he has what it takes to be the world champion. And Keys was right, man. Keys was right. It is not the first time. It will not be the last time.
I will go out on a limb and say this, that I think if Khabib was to fight Charles Oliveira, I don't even think Khabib would look to take Oliveira down. Because Khabib is more of a grappler, whereas Charles Oliveira is more of a jiu-jitsu guy. He's looking to always submit you. He's not looking to take you down and ground and pound. When he takes you down, he's looking to choke you out, break your arm, twist your ankle, hyperextend your calf, anything like that. So I think even Khabib will probably be skeptical of taking down Charles Oliveira. Although we know Khabib's striking isn't the best, I just don't see him actually going in and saying, yeah, I'm going to take this guy down. I just don't see that being his A1 game plan.
Yeah, because I'll tell you this. I mean, in the same situation where, you know, look at that. Poirier, he said that guillotine that Poirier had Khabib locked in their fight. Khabib, you know, people said, oh, it wasn't tight. It was tight, bro. It was definitely tight. I mean, I thought it was by the looks of it. And I said, I think Khabib was in danger right there. I think he was in a lot of danger, you know. And it's funny because, you know, the fan said that it wasn't tight. And then they interviewed him after, and Khabib said it was actually very tight. So, you know, but just look at this. Oliveira, in that same scenario, gets the tap. He gets the tap. And there would be more situations like that in that fight. It wouldn't just be that one, you know, flash in a pan moment. You know, there would be many moments like that. You know, but Oliveira, you know, that's a fight that we'll probably never see. So we don't even really need to, you know, get locked in on that. But do you think this would be, you know, this is something they asked Poirier on the show. I was kind of surprised. Do you think they suggested that this could be his last shot at the 155 title? Do you believe that?
No. Only reason I don't believe that is because he's the, number one ranked lightweight right now. So let's say if he loses, he probably falls to, number five, number six. So basically, when you're in the top 10, basically you're still in the title picture, because all you have to do is probably win about two to three fights, depending on the two fights or three fights you get. If you win those fights, you're right back in the title picture. So now I wouldn't say if he lost this fight, he would never get another title shot, because he's not going to fall no further than five or six. So basically you say he loses. Gaethje goes up and fights Oliveira. You make Poirier versus the loser of Beneil versus Islam. Let's say he won that fight. then you'll probably have Poirier versus maybe the loser of Gaethje versus Oliveira. Let's say he won that fight. He's right back in the title picture, bro. Right back in the title picture.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I was really kind of surprised when they asked him that because I feel like he'd be right there. Like, if he were to lose this fight, I feel like he's, me personally, I think he's one fight away. You know, he would fall back, you know, take a fight with whoever's there, and, you know, probably he gets a fight with a top five guy. If he wins that fight, he's right back there, whoever's, you know, to challenge whoever's there for the title. So I was kind of surprised they even asked him that. I don't really know why they asked him that personally. I want to talk about.
And plus, Dana White likes him. So that never
yeah,
hurts.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I feel like Dana White likes Poirier, so that's definitely helpful, too. All right, but let's get into this. I mean, Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez. What did you think about the fight? And how did you have the rounds? Who did you have winning? How did you have the rounds?
I thought Max started off unusually slow. Normally, you know, he's a fast starter. But in this fight, he didn't seem to come out as fast as I thought he would. I thought Yair showed a lot of heart in this fight. I thought he came out in the first and second rounds basically telling Max that I'm going to be here for five rounds. You ain't going to dispose of me this fast. And I want to say probably towards the end of the second round, going into the third round, you can see Max find himself, start picking up his volume. I definitely had Max win his rounds 3 through 5. I had Yair winning the first round, maybe even the second round. So, you know, 3 rounds to 2, maybe 4 rounds to 1, either which way you want to look at it. But it's just that, you know, when Max started finding his rhythm, it seems like guys don't know how to match his output. In the first fight against Volkanovski, how did Volkanovski match his output? By leg kicking and doing takedowns. Volkanovski did not try to stand up with him. He came up with another way. He matched Max's output by diminishing his output by leg kicking him and taking him down. I thought Yair, he couldn't match Max's output, and he really didn't know what to do. I thought Yair should have did more what he was doing in the fifth round, starting in the fourth round as far as being aggressive, trying to use some of his crazy, wild, spinning stuff. But Max is just the better fighter that night. But I worry about Max because all his fights seem to be wars. Your career, you can't have a long-standing career with all your fights being wars where you're dishing out punishment, but you are also taking in punishment. I think we need to see an evolution in Max's game, Keith. I hate to be long-winded, but I think we need to see Max incorporate kicking in his game and maybe even a little bit more wrestling in this game, and that would negate some of the unnecessary punishment that he takes in his fights.
Well, so I'll put it like this. I mean, I had it 3-2, 3 rounds to 2, Holloway. I want to say rounds 1 and 2 I gave to Yair. And then rounds 3, 4, 5. Like, I feel like towards, like, the second half-ish of round 2, you could just see that Yair, it almost seemed like he was expecting to have hurt Max at least at some point in rounds 1 or 2. Like, he seemed he seemed the look on his face, his body language, the way he was starting to fight, I definitely think he was kind of taken back by Max's pace increasing, you know, in round three, four, five, the way that Max turned it up and Yair was turning it down. I feel like rounds one and two, Yair was in there. I feel like he, you know, thought he would have had Max hurt at least once. When he realized that he didn't have him hurt yet, and he was like, damn, this guy's still coming. This guy is coming with more volume. This guy, you know, is still right in my face. I'm hitting him with, you know, big shots, and he's just not moved by it. I think Yair was really, really shocked with that. You know, he was taken back by that. And then Max, you know, as I said it going into round three, I said, this is where Max is about to turn it up right here. The fight's over. Like, he was clearly done, and Max was just getting started, you know, going into that round three. And that's exactly what we saw. Round three, four, five, I felt like we're a domination for Holloway. And to add to your point, we have somebody in the queue. I'm going to bring him in 1 second. But to add to your point is Max, you're talking about the wrestling. I mean, ironically, we just saw him land 3 takedowns in a fight. I mean, when's the last time we've even seen him land a takedown or even go for a takedown? Like, he was wrestling in this fight. So, I mean, maybe he needs to wrestle even more than that. Maybe that's what you're saying. But and I agree. But, you know, I was proud of him. You know, seeing him shoot, and his takedowns were good, too. Like, it wasn't like – I don't feel like he struggled with them. I feel like he got them. He secured the takedowns pretty – you could tell that he was drilling that in camp. Like, you could tell he's been training with wrestlers, you know, because he got clean takedowns on Yair. Like, you know, maybe Yair wasn't expecting him, and that was part of it, you know. But Max, I was proud of the boy. Let me jump the caller in right now. We'll see what they think about this topic, Holloway versus Yair, and wrestler Holloway that we are starting to see now. Yo, who do we have in the queue?
How's it going, guys? It's Evan.
Yo, what up, Evan?
Not too much. How you guys doing?
What's up, bro?
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
So what you think about Max's performance Saturday?
I was surprised at how much he got hit. And like he said, you know, he really showed his, you know, well-roundedness, his mixed martial arts by getting the takedowns and, you know, so on and so forth. Because he talked a big game about, you know, throwing up more strikes than he did against Calvin Kattar, but he couldn't do that against Yair because of the style. But I think it was a good performance. I think could have been better, and I don't think Max is as good as people thought he was, like, coming off the Kattar performance. So, like, if they do the Volk trilogy, I still think Volk wins. I think actually Volk might be able to finish him this time, but, you know.
See, Evan came up here talking this Volkanovski stuff because he know how I feel about that second fight. And now he wants to say Volkanovski is going to finish Max. See, I like Evan. But, Evan, I do have to agree with you. I think Max is starting to take too much punishment, bro. Every fight, he looks like he's been in a fight. I mean, I understand it's a fight game, but look at Usman. Usman be in a fight, but he like he can go put on his suit after his fight and go to a party, you know, and I just don't feel Max can do that anymore. I was telling Keys that I think he needs to add more to his tool belt. We know he can put out hella strikes, but can we couple those strikes up with kicks? Can we couple those strikes up with timely takedowns, where you're eating up the clock, not taking punishment? Can we couple that up with probably a couple of submission attempts. It's just stuff like that, I think, that he could preserve his body and also probably prolong his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for guys to, you know, people that don't watch the sport regularly, like when they want to watch these fights and just see guys slug it out and just take a whole bunch of damage. But, like, when you really look at it, like, you want longevity. Like, if you're a fighter, you know, you should want longevity. You know, you shouldn't want to, you know, have a short career. And then, you know, when you go back to your life, you know, after fighting, you, like, can hardly speak. Like, you don't, you know, you might have CTE or, you know, run into issues with the brain from taking too many shots. Like, you know, and none of us want to see guys, like, end up with, you know, with situations like that after. So, you know, I think it's in their best interest to, you know, implement different things, you know, add different notches to the style. I think Max, you know, he would do better with, you know, slowing it down with the wars, you know, try to hit your shots a little bit more, you know, start checking leg kicks. Like, for some reason, he just lets himself get kicked in the legs and doesn't like to check leg kicks. And I think that was a huge reason why he hasn't been, you know, that's been a huge reason why he hasn't been able to beat Alexander Volkanovski yet, is because Alex, you know, and I actually am a big fan of Volkanovski at this point. I think, you know, his last fight with Ortega, I was so proud of him. You know, I was so, so proud of him. Like, that was one of the happiest UFC moments I've had in a while, because the way he persevered through Ortega's, you know, couple submission attempts, and, you know, the crowd, and they thought the fight was over, the commentary, the people I was with, everybody was like, oh, the fight's over, he's done, he's going to tap. And I was like, nah, I don't think he's going to tap, y'all. I think he got this. He's going to fight through it, bro. He saw what Tony Ferguson did, you know, versus Oliveira, and how he was screaming in pain and fought through it. You know, and then he took a piece from that, and dude beasted it out and got out of a couple submission attempts from Ortega. So, you know, I was so proud of him to see him persevere and get through, win that fight. I was so happy. But, yeah, I think that's, you know, Holloway, he just lets guys kick his legs off. And you can't do that, you know, if you want to beat Volkanovski. You can't just not check leg kicks. You have to be prepared for that. And that's something he's going to add to his game. Don't let your legs get beat up. Also, you don't need to, you know, it's fun watching you throw, like, you know, 500 strikes a fight, but you don't have to use up so much energy. You can pick your shots a little bit more. You can still box, but you don't have to throw such high volume. You know what I'm saying? You can be a boxer and be, you know, a fun fighter, but like Lee said, just kind of mix it up, you know, do some different things. You could box for a round, but pick your shots, you know, and you know, improve your defense so you're not getting hit as much. You know, throw your own leg kicks, check their leg kicks. You know, I like what he was doing with the takedowns. Keep going with the takedowns. Maybe land some strikes from top position like he was doing in that fight. You know, so switch it up. You know, you don't always have to, you know, throw 600 strikes a fight. You know, that's not a path to longevity for any fighter. So, yeah, I agree with y'all. I think he needs to diversify himself, you know, going forward. I definitely think so.
Yeah.
So, if you don't mind, I actually have a question for you gentlemen. What did you guys think of the Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler fight?
I think it's probably, to me, top five nominees for Fighter of the Year. But once again, it goes back to what I've been saying since Chandler joined the UFC. If he can't finish the fight in the first round, it seems to me that he tends to fade and he thinks too much. I thought that he knew he was going to be in a fight with Gaethje. And, you know, he came out in the first round. They both was, like, basically unloading the gun. They went to their corners, reholstered, reloaded. And it seemed like Gaethje was like, okay, I'm not going to just throw punches. I'm going to throw kicks. I'm going to be technical in my strikes. I'm going to make my punches count. Whereas Chandler, he needs to learn to fight with pace. You know how we just said that, you know, Max comes out, balls to the wall, 500 strikes, you know, la, 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 la. I think Chandler, I said this on the last show, maybe he needs to adopt the Anderson Silva method. Come out first 2 minutes of the first round, you fill your opponent out, and then you get into the floor of the fight. I think that will help his style, because that way he's not so overhyped and over-anxious in the first round that by the second round it looks like he's done. But he needs to become more than a first-round fighter, and I think until he does that, he won't be a good fighter in the UFC. There's too many good guys in this weight class for him to think he can get out in the first round.
Yeah, he definitely needs to come up more than one round. I mean, when he fought Hooker, he blitzed him, and you couldn't really tell where he was at with just that performance. But he looked great, obviously. I feel like he came with more than one round versus Oliveira, but and you could tell. I think if he hadn't, he would have got choked out. But you know, you could see that he survived Oliveira's submission attempts, and I was very proud of him for that. That was another proud UFC moment, even in a loss. But then when he fought this one, it really seemed like he just thought that he came with one round. And it seemed like he expected to get Gaethje out of there in the first round. And I felt like Gaethje won rounds 2 and 3 very clearly. And, you know, while it's a fight of the year candidate, I'm not ready to say that's fight of the year. I feel like there's been better fights if I look back. Because I really don't think it was a great back and forth. I feel like, yeah, there was some freakish, you know, stuff. Like Gaethje's like, Chandler's standing there just taking punches to the face. Like the Joker in the Dark Knight movie. Yeah, there's stuff like that. But, like, was it a great back and forth? I would say no. Was it a war? I would say no. A lot of people are saying that was a war. I really don't think it was. I feel like it was a war for maybe the first minute or two of the first round. And after that, it was like you could just see it slowed down and then Gaethje took over the fight rounds 2 and 3, in my opinion. I don't think that was a war. A war is, you know, Poirier versus Alvarez, you know, pretty much both of those fights. Poirier versus Gaethje. I feel like there's other Gaethje fights that were wars too, but I can't think of them off the top. But those are the first three fights that came to mind. Oh, yeah, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz too. Like, those are wars to me, you know. And if you really, like, look at those fights, can you confidently say that you put – that you could put that fight with those fights? And I would say that definitely not.
I figured I'd get you guys' opinion on that one.
What was your thoughts on it?
I was just very happy that it went 3 rounds. You know, even though Chandler lost, I'm a big Chandler fan. You know, like you said, you know, he's got a pace. He's got to work at pace. He makes bad decisions. He gets too riled up when he, you know, hurts somebody and he just goes for it because he's got that big power. But he's carrying a lot of muscle. You know, he's a small guy. He's not a big guy for 155, but he cuts a lot of weight because you can see it when in the weigh-ins. He's a little gaunt in the face, and he pushes way too hard early on. But, I was happy that it went to a decision. I don't really think there was a loser in that fight besides, obviously, the fact that Justin got the judge's nod, but I think Chandler's stock continues to rise. And the idea of a Chandler-Conor McGregor fight, that's exciting because I would probably take Chandler in that one. I think I said I would take Chandler even before he got in the UFC. But, I was very happy with it and can't wait to see. I hope just for the record, I hope Justin gets the next title shot, and if, you know, whoever wins between Dustin and Charles, I hope he gets the next title shot, but if whoever wins that fight is injured or is going to be out for a while, I hope they do the Islam fight for Justin, just to kind of get it out of the way.
Mm. Mm. Islam, huh? I don't know about that one. Because Islam really hasn't beaten a top five guy, man. I mean, Dan Hooker, I mean, I know you like him. Y'all know I don't like him. But I just think he hasn't done much to win a title shot. So I wouldn't mind, like I said earlier in the show, I wouldn't mind Vanir Darius versus Islam, and you go ahead and do Gaethje versus the winner of Poirier and Oliveira.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So, yeah. It's just that I know I do value the ranking system. I think that you do have to fight your way up. And I just don't – if you look at the names on Islam's on his record since he's been in the UFC, and it's not that impressive.
No.
So, yeah, I think give him a top five guy, and let's see how he looks. But then I think Benil will actually give him a run for his money on the mat. I think Benil ain't a slouch on the mat.
I keep forgetting about Benil. That should be the fight. It should be.
Yeah, what if?
Should be Benil and Islam.
I mean, me and Lee both think Gaethje should get the shot, and Islam should go fight a legit contender. But aside from that point, plot twist, Benil Darius just destroys all of them. What if Oliveira smacks Poirier? You know, my prediction, I think Oliveira is going to beat Poirier. But whatever happens, Oliveira beats Poirier, right? And then Benil just beats everybody. Benil fights Islam, beats him, fights Gaethje, beats him. Fights Oliveira, smacks him. Like, what if that would be probably the most ultimate plot twist ever in the division? Benil just destroys everybody. And he's really good. I'm not even trying to clown him. He's really good. I'm just saying. I just think him and Oliveira are like the two most slept on guys, I would say. You know, everybody else gets talked about quite a bit, but you know, it's only the champ and Darius that are pretty much, you know, the slept on guys that people don't really like to acknowledge as much.
Yeah, I think if Benil was to actually make a run and actually win the title, I could respect it because he's basically fought his way to being where he's at. He fought his way into the top 15, fought his way into the top 10, fought his way into the top 5. And for somebody to do that, I can't do nothing but respect them because they did it the right way.
Yeah, 100%. We went over a few. Definitely we'll close it out here. I feel like we got to a lot. Thank you for calling in, Evan. I appreciate you. And Lee, that was a great show. I feel like we got to a lot, and I was excited about that one for good reason. I had a good feeling about it, and you know, it went as such. So I'm happy about that. Appreciate the people who listen. Like I said, Evan, I appreciate you calling in. Lee, it was good chopping up with you. And that's all I got. Lee, the floor is yours, bro.
Hey man, real quick, thanks Evan for calling in, bros. Still got love for you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're taking care of yourself. Like I always tell you, I'm here for you if you need somebody to talk to. You know, man, one thing about this fight game, man, you just never know who's going to be the next star in combat sports. Saturday, I know you guys don't really watch boxing, but Saturday, watch the Terrence Crawford-Sean Porter fight Saturday. And you will see a star in the making. And his name is Terrence Bud Crawford. So I'll be watching that Saturday. Everybody have a nice weekend. Take care of yourselves. There's always positive people, positive energy. You have positive results. As we log off, we always win the show with a peace.